we see what's going on at the federal level relative to higher education, what we've seen over the last few years relative to discussions about higher education, what I talk to my team about and what I talk to the campus community about and what I'll talk to you about is that we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to remember what our job is. Our job is to educate the people of Colorado. Our job is to do extraordinary research, to be innovative, to take care of the people of Colorado with our incredible healthcare services that we provide, to educate the doctors of tomorrow. We need to do our job. And of course, there's lots of stuff going on out there and lots of background noise, lots of controversial things going on. And we are dealing with that. We are engaging with that, but we need to keep our eye on the prize.
Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. We have a special guest with us in our studio here on the south side of Alamosa. CU President Todd Solomon is with us. Great to see you, brother, to meet you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Valley Pod.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
Hey, so tell us, what brings you to Alamosa in the great San Luis Valley here midweek, end of July?
Well, I'm thrilled to be here with several members of our Board of Regents and people from all of CU's campuses to hear what folks in the Valley think about CU, to hear what people in the Valley need from CU, and to share what we have going on our campuses.
And I know this isn't your first time down here.
It's not. We've come down from time to time, and we are deeply committed to having a presence in the Valley and in all of Colorado's communities. So one of the things that I did when I became president was created an outreach effort. And we actually have an outreach person in Southern Colorado, Micah Espinoza, who lives in Rye, and we were working really hard to be connected to Southern Colorado and to the Valley.
Yeah, no, Micah was in here earlier. Appreciate a graduate of Rye High School. He is. I knew you were here before because our good friend Cleve Simpson, the state senator, told me about a time where you sat in his house, in the outside. He has beautiful landscape, right? And you're sitting in the back with him, just enjoying Valley life.
Yeah, that was a great visit. We got to visit his farm. He showed us the hemp that he was growing on that visit. And we learned a lot about water that day, as you could imagine.
Yeah. Every time you get with Cleve, you're definitely in a conversation around water, aren't you?
We definitely talked about that.
How many alumni does CU have in the Valley, do you think? Do you know?
So I don't know the answer to that. I know that we have 21 students right now from the Valley on our campuses. About 10 in Boulder, about 10 at UCCS in Colorado Springs, and one at CU Denver, and we want more.
Yeah, no, and we know a few of those students. My daughter just recently graduated 2 years ago from Alamosa High School. One of her good friends, Sienna Gallegos, is interning with us this summer. You met her earlier.
I did.
So
she's
I kind of
awesome.
Know that that cohort of students that just came through Alamosa High School most recently, and I know several of them that did go to CU.
Yeah, and we're thrilled when we have students from the Valley on our campuses. You know, I take very seriously the name of our university, the University of Colorado. We are Colorado's university, and I think it is our mission to serve the people of Colorado, all of Colorado, all of Colorado's communities. So I'm thrilled to be able to be here and to talk to people in Alamosa and in the Valley about that, and to try to encourage more people to attend the University of Colorado.
Yeah, as a native of Alamosa, native of Colorado, you know, CU is definitely that flagship university, always has been through the generations. Let me ask you this. Give us CU in a nutshell today. What are the trend lines you're seeing? What is CU today?
Well, CU is an extraordinary place that does amazing things every day with our students, faculty, and staff. But some of the things that are on the cutting edge right now, you know, in terms of higher education, in terms of the University of Colorado, are, first of all, access. We want to be here to educate people so that they can get an affordable education, get a valuable degree that'll get them a better job when they graduate. So that's our foundational commitment. You know, we are all about innovation and entrepreneurship, you know, helping find new solutions to the many problems facing our communities, our state, our country, and the world. And we see that happening on all of our campuses. It might be at the community level, it might be at a broader national level, it might be, you know, relative to AI in some areas or quantum science, but it could also be about water and wildfire. And these are all things that we're focusing on at the University of Colorado.
You know, that we're living in a very dynamic period of time. Let me ask you, what do you sense at this moment in time for higher education when we're seeing a very aggressive federal government and how it views higher education? We're seeing an accelerated pace of change with AI and quantum computing coming up. We're seeing these just rapid advances, acceleration of life. What do you see through that when you think of this moment in time and you think of the future, the next period of years?
You know, I think the biggest challenge that one of the big challenges that we have right now is this persistent message that's going on nationally about the questioning the value of higher education. And it really worries me because the data are crystal clear. Going to college is worth it. When you have a college degree, you will earn more. You are much, much more likely to be employed during an economic downturn. The more educated you are, the more likely you are to be employed. And but it's also, so I think that it's really unfortunate that there's this national conversation going on questioning the value of higher education. The data are clear. But on the other hand, we need to be relevant and we need to be educating people about the things that they need to know to get the jobs of today and to be ready for the jobs of tomorrow that we might not even know about. And so it's so important that we adapt. And our students are smart. You know, they shop well, and they choose where to go to school, and they expect to learn the skills that they need to be competitive in the workforce. And so, but I do think it's on us to make sure that we're adapting and that we're responding too. We have responsibility in this as well.
Yeah, because you know you want your flagship university in a state, in this case the University of Colorado in the state of Colorado. You want that. At least I do, want that university to understand where we're going to help guide future graduates, et cetera, and how you see the world there. I think these campuses play an important role there. Go ahead.
Definitely. So I completely agree with that. So we need to look into the future and we need to look into the present, honestly, and make sure that we are providing the skills and the training that our students need to be prepared for the jobs of today and tomorrow, like I said. But we also have to look around the corner. And the thing about looking around the corner is you actually can't see around the corner, right? And so you need to be thinking about the skills that we teach today that will be relevant tomorrow, even for jobs that we can't expect. And so when we talk about AI, and we've been listening a lot to AI experts. I have a system-wide task force on AI to just think about how we're using it as an institution. But one of the messages that we hear time and time again with AI is that the most important skills for our students to graduate with relative to AI are critical thinking skills. It's not necessarily coding. It's not right. necessarily the technical skills, but it's being able to think independently, being able to question whether or not something is truthful, and being able to analyze that for yourself. And those are the types of really, it's really interesting when we think about the future, the types of skills that are needed for the future.
Do you feel like you, in that regard, need to double down on efforts around critical thinking so that students understand the importance of using your brain rather than allowing ChatGPT to think for you or write for you? That's where I worry about the thinking piece. Are we going to lose thinkers? Are we going to use the ability to think for ourselves?
And that's the big fear, right? It's ironic that you need to be able to think better to use this technology that think so much on its own with you and for you. And, but I am definitely, that is something that we are definitely like aware of and engaged in. This is new, right? This is new territory for us. The fact that we're talking about this, if I had been on your show a few years ago, we wouldn't even be, wouldn't even be talking about this. But it's so important. So the answer to your question is yes. So we need to be doing everything we can to make sure that we're teaching all of our students, whether or not they're in engineering or art history or political science or quantum physics, whatever it happens to be, we need to teach all of them those critical thinking skills.
You're in an awesome responsibility, an awesome role of responsibility as the president of the University of Colorado and the system as a whole. I mean, university presidents have huge responsibilities in today's world particularly. And I wonder what scares you. Does anything scare you at this moment, or what does scare you, or what keeps you up at night as the leader of this flagship university with all these students' futures in your hands, really? What worries you, if anything?
So it is an awesome responsibility, and it's an awesome honor too, right? So when I sit on those stages when we're graduating students, and this last go around, we graduated over 14,000 students from the University of Colorado.
Wow.
And what an extraordinary honor that is to be part of their lives, that they've trusted us to help them take their next step as they go into the world. Like, it's an extraordinary honor. And when I think about the things that we need to focus on most, it really is making sure that we are not teaching them what to think, but how to think, so that they can have those critical thinking skills when they go out into the world. It's those universal skills that everybody needs more and more as we look into the future. And I think that when we see what's going on at the federal level relative to higher education, what we've seen over the last few years relative to discussions about higher education, what I talk to my team about, and what I talk to the campus community about, and what I'll talk to you about, is that we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to remember what our job is. Our job is to educate the people of Colorado. Our job is to do extraordinary research, to be innovative, to take care of the people of Colorado with our incredible healthcare services that we provide, to educate the doctors of tomorrow. We need to do our job. And of course, there's lots of stuff going on out there, and lots of background noise, lots of controversial things going on. And we are dealing with that. We are engaging with that, but we need to keep our eye on the prize.
How hard is that for your faculty, for your staff, and for the student body to be able to focus at this point in time, given all the distractions that they hear, given all the distractions that come into higher education? How hard is that to try to focus on what you just said?
So it can be challenging, for sure. You know, it's definitely distracting. And one of the things that I'm committed to is making sure that that the campus community and the broader community has access to accurate information about what's going on. When we're talking about critical thinking skills, there's so much out there, some of which is accurate, a lot of which isn't. And so we provide weekly updates on what's going on at the federal level, so that we provide really good quality, accurate information. It's on our website. We can give you a link to the website. But it can definitely be distracting. And so, it's important to acknowledge that, and to not just ignore that those distractions exist. So we have to acknowledge it, but we also have to, provide the information to put it into perspective. And we have to remind people that we're here to do the things that we were hired to do. We're here to teach. We're here to do research. We're here to provide services to our students. And our faculty and our staff take that very seriously. And they are deeply committed to providing those services. But it does, distractions happen. That happens to all of us.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking to CU President Todd Sellum, and this is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for funding to launch a community project, program, or event in Monta Vista? The Lohr Foundation is here to help. Lohr supports projects that are designed and led by locals like you. The best part, there are no complicated applications, time-consuming reports, or grant cycle deadlines. All it takes to start a funding request is a simple conversation. So reach out to the Monta Vista Community Officer, Yvette Atencio, at lohrfoundation.org today and take the first steps towards turning your idea into a reality.
¿Estás buscando financiamiento para lanzar un proyecto, programa o evento comunitario en Monta Vista? La Fundación Lohr, L-O-R, está aquí para ayudarte. Lohr apoya proyectos que son diseñados y liderados por personas locales como tú. La mejor parte, no hay solicitudes complicadas, informes que consumen mucho tiempo, ni fechas límite de convocatorias. Todo lo que necesitas para iniciar una solicitud de financiamiento es una conversación sencilla. Así que comunícate hoy mismo con la oficial comunitaria de Monta Vista, Yvette Atencio, en lohrfoundation.org. LohrFoundation.org. Y da el primer paso para convertir tu idea en una realidad.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to CU President Todd Salem, and he was talking about the challenges and the awesome challenges that all higher ed campuses face these days. Have you figured out, because I like to study leaders like yourself, because again, you're at the top of the food chain and you have a lot of responsibility and people and operations that you're responsible for. And as we've been noting, we're living in a very dynamic period of time in the history of this country. As a leader, have you figured out any new tricks, new ways to communicate, new ways to hold attention, new ways to keep your team focused on what you're trying to accomplish? As a leader, anything you're tweaking in your own style? How do you see that, or how have you managed yourself in this period?
So that's a interesting question. I haven't gotten that one before. How have I adapted? You know, honestly, I rely a lot on what I've learned in the past and the management styles that I've learned in the past. But I think the most important thing that I can do as a leader is to be honest and be transparent and share with people the talk about the realities of the things that we're dealing with, but also to not exaggerate the risks that we're facing. It's so important that we not catastrophize, that we keep it real, and that when we want to be part of a solution, then we need to come in with concrete ideas. And I am not the guy that pounds on the table and pontificates. I am not that guy. I am the solution-oriented guy who comes in and wants to have real solutions to the problems that we're facing. And so when I engage with our congressional delegation or with the state legislature, with the community, I come forward with real plans and real ideas that can be operationalized and that will have a positive impact on our students, our faculty, our staff, and our state.
You know, when you noted the number of graduates, 14,000, I believe you said, in this last academic year, 14, that starts to, I think, give you a sense of how many students, how the economy of Colorado and Boulder really rely, maybe not rely, but CU is a huge part of that, a huge part of a lot. I mean, 14,000 graduates, that's a good number. Let me ask you, how are students from small schools that grow up here in the San Luis Valley or other markets like Rye High School, we mentioned Mike Espinoza who graduated, how do those kids from small schools, small markets, how does CU view them? And do you have to make any adjustments for those types of students in the environment they came from?
So we love them. And we want more people from the Valley at our campuses. And that's why we're here. We're here to actually hear from the community the answer to your question. You know, what do you need from us so that you will feel like you want to be at the University of Colorado? What can we be doing to make sure that it's your home away from home? The University of Colorado won't be your home. Alamosa is your home, right? But we want to be a place where you want to be, where you feel welcome and accepted. And that's what we're here to talk about. Do people from the Valley need something special, special services, special care? Well, the people from the Valley let us know, right? And so everyone can speak for themselves and tell us what they need so that to help them be successful. But CU Boulder, it's a big place. UCCS, it's about 10,000 students. CU Denver, about 10,000 students. And so so we have lots of choices for people. But what we want to make sure is that all of our campuses have communities on the campuses where anyone from the state of Colorado can feel welcome. And the number one thing that we hear that's concern in terms of going to CU or going to college in general is cost. And going to college costs more than any of us want it to, but I think it costs a lot less than a lot of people think, especially when we're traveling around the state. We hear people talking about the cost of college. When we ask them how much they think it's going to cost, they always say a lot more than it actually does. But what's really important are the things that we're doing to try to make it cheaper for people to go to college. We're making it easier to transfer credits from high school. We're providing significant financial aid. CU puts more money into financial aid from internal resources than the state of Colorado puts into financial aid for all universities and colleges combined.
That's interesting.
We are highly committed to bringing college within reach for the people of Colorado.
I think families don't understand or forget about the financial scholarship aid that does exist. And when you start that process, then those things, those answers start to come to you and you realize, oh, yeah, I can afford this. I can do this. We did that recently with my daughter who's at the University of Oregon. I want to ask you, my perception right now of CU is that it's dynamic, growing, at least Boulder, campus that has a lot of energy. And I take that view and perception from Coach Prime and what he has done for Boulder, CU as a whole, the university, because you feel that honestly with him and that presence, you can sense that and you're like, dang, CU's got it going on now. CU's really, how has that effect? How have you managed that or looked at that? How do you see that effect?
So we love Coach Prime. We love Deion Sanders and we love what he's been doing for the University of Colorado. And we're looking forward to an awesome season with lots of wins. and so is he.
They put the pressure right there. I appreciate that.
Well, no one puts the pressure on him more than himself. So that's what he wants to. But, I often talk about athletics at CU Boulder as being the front porch to the university. And our front porch is looking good because he has really done an amazing job. And so have our other coaches and our athletes in other sports as well. We have some extraordinary athletes at the University of Colorado and at UCCS in Colorado Springs. And that gets people's attention. And that's how many people engage. I'm surprised it took you so long to bring it up. but then we get them into the front door. And then they can see the extraordinary things that we're doing that go so far beyond athletics. You know, it might be people who are interested in business or in science or in art or in community service. And we can talk to them about the extraordinary things that we're doing, the partnerships we have with communities all over Colorado, and the skills that we can teach them and the way that we can create connections for them so that they can achieve their dreams.
You know, we really appreciate you stopping by and spending a little bit of time with us here. I want to ask you a couple more things or one more thing before we let you go. You noted at the start of your presidency back in 2021, one of your goals, one of your strategies was connecting communities across Colorado. That's what you're saying, to ensure CU meets the state's evolving needs, right? That's what you're working on. What are the needs of the state of Colorado that you see that CU is moving to address And how does rural Colorado, because you come down here, you've been here a few times, you understand this part of the state now in the valley. What are those things you're trying to address or CU's trying to address when you think of the needs of state, the needs of rural Colorado?
So I appreciate that. And I'm from Colorado too. So I grew up in Littleton, not from rural Colorado for sure, but I love this state. And what I want to communicate is that the University of Colorado loves Colorado. When people ask me, well, what's your goal for relative to the state of Colorado? I said, I want the people of Colorado to have a love affair with the University of Colorado. And so when we're talking about meeting the needs of rural Colorado, you know, we need to be talking about making sure that the people in rural Colorado have the same skills that everybody else in Colorado and the urban areas have, so that they can, you know, be competitive in the future with these jobs of the future, so that the people have the opportunity to stay in their communities if they want to, and have prosperous lives, fulfilling lives, long lives, happy lives. You know, when I talk about the futures for my own kids, you know, I say two words: happy and healthy, right? And so I want to make sure that everybody who goes through the University of Colorado can lead happy and healthy lives. And we each define that differently, right? So what that might mean for you might be different for me. But the University of Colorado needs to be providing the skills and the training and the resources and the connections that you and I need to find that dream. And I think we are, and I think we can, and we just want to connect with more Coloradans to make sure that we can do that for as many Coloradans as we can.
I can get with happy and healthy. Those are two good words, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate you stopping by. Great to see you and great to visit with you. Hey, you've been listening to The Valley Pod on our episode with CU President Todd Solomon. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the valley.
Everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks with the Valley Calendar Update. Here are the events you can look forward to this week. Wednesday this week is a Mercadillo and El Rio at the Rio Grande Farm Park from 3 to 7. Friday morning is the Monte Vista Farmers Market at Fullenweider Park starting at 9. Friday evening, spend time with author Michael Espinosa at the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op at 6 p.m. Saturday morning is the Alamosa Farmers Market starting at 8. And Saturday evening at the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op is a reception for artist Joni Franks. Sundays at 6 is back this week with Navajo punk rock band Seahawson. You can find details for these events and more at AlamosaCitizen.com. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. Head to the Valley Calendar page on AlamosaCitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. That'll do for now. Have a great week.
This summer only, see elite Navy diving equipment from World War II and other unique military objects during their only stop in Colorado. Documenting 250 years of Native peoples' contributions to the U.S. military, the traveling Smithsonian exhibition, Why We Serve, Native Americans in the United States Armed Forces, is at the award-winning Fort Garland Museum and Cultural Center. Get museum tickets and details at fortgarlandmuseum.org.